can't pay your hydro bill, and I go pay the bill for you, then your bill is paid because I did it. As far as the hydro company is concerned, you were in me when I paid the bill for you. And so you're at home, you didn't pay that bill, but you don't have to sweat it, it's paid. You don't sit there and worry about it because it's paid. All right, so it's the way the Father looks at this whole thing from his perspective is that Jesus did this for all of mankind. And so we were in him when he went to the cross. And so all of our sins are paid for. It is a total redemption. Everything that we have in him. This is why he is our high tower. He is our safe place. He is our refuge. We sing these songs, but we have to actually, in our mind, put ourselves in him. And this is so important for all aspects of ministry. I got a drawing here. This is us with our heart, and this is all the insecurities, the frustration, the rebellion, the anger we still have at times, and all these negative things that we have to still grow out of. And this is what affects, this is in our hearts, it affects our minds, it affects our thinking, it affects everything. The devil is always throwing this in our face, throwing the past in our face, all of this stuff. So this is what we have to deal with all the time. And so this is why we have such a privilege of being in Christ Jesus. We don't feel holy, but in Christ Jesus, we are holy because he paid for all of our sins. That's why we live by faith and not by feelings. You can read this, meditate on it, know it in your heart. But as you go through everyday life, we're dealing with life around us. We're dealing with circumstances, situations, and our hearts automatically react, and these negative things rise up. And sometimes you might think, oh, man, have I grown at all? Have I not changed yet? But this is where we always come back to who we are in Christ Jesus. Yeah, I messed up. Okay. Sorry, Lord. Repent. And if there's major problems in our life, we need to really tackle those things and really meditate on the scriptures that we need to overcome those things. Make it a point and determination to live in such a way that that stops functioning in our lives. Because as we live by the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And so as we live this new life, this eventually starts to disappear. But if somebody has a problem with, say, gossip, I'll read what the Bible says about gossip. And then you get under conviction every time you gossip. And then you start loving people and saying good things about people, thinking more highly of others than yourself. You have to force yourself and train yourself to do that, to quit gossiping. See, what happens is that a lot of Christians know who they are in Christ, but if they don't train their hearts to think and to live differently, then this is just an escape for them. Oh, I'm under grace, I'm okay. But they're not changing. See, the Bible says, be doers of the word, not hearers only, thereby deceiving yourself. You can have a revelation of who you are in Christ, but if you're not living the message, then you're still deceived because you think you're okay and you're not. And you're under grace, so everything is all right. See, to be under grace, you have to have the fear of the Lord. I'm trying to put this in a bit of a picture form. I'm not a great drawer, but this is why knowing who you are in Christ is so important. I really had to work at this when I first became a Christian, and then the Lord took me out of bar room and threw me into ministry, and I couldn't talk in front of people without my knees shaking. I had to force myself every Sunday morning to get up. Pastor Bill remembers. I've had to do all these things. I mean, I never read a word of the Bible in life, so my life drastically changed from being in bar rooms, gambling and partying, to being a pastor and a spiritual leader of people. And in my heart, I still hadn't dealt with all the anger and all the frustration and all the rejection and all the rebellion. So I literally had to force myself to get up every Sunday morning to speak, even though I didn't feel I could do it. Had to force myself to love people in spite of my anger. Had to force myself to be diligent in the word. All of those things, I had to literally force myself, force my heart to change, because your heart does not want to change. It is accustomed to being the way it is. It has a principle in it that it works to keep everything in conjunction with all your comfort zones. That's the way it just automatically works. It's a homeostasis principle. And so it just stays the way it is unless you force it to change. Jesus said, if you love those that love you, what benefit is it to you? There's no benefit just being nice to people when they're nice to you, other than living out of the goodness that you already have. But it will never overcome all of this evil. Overcome evil with good. So we make all these mistakes. We're still here. And what happens with people that have gotten religious is that they're not living the word anymore. There's no fear of God. They live it to a certain degree, but they were good people to start with. They went to church all their lives, but then they got confidence in their own goodness. Because they've gone to church and paid their tithes and sang in the choir all those years. But then they gossip or they cause problems in the church because they still have all these opinions and so forth. And when they have confidence in their own goodness, they don't need Christ. See, our righteousness is in Christ. It's got nothing to do with us, because none of us can be good enough without Jesus. This is why he's our refuge. So no matter what I do, I always come back, I confess my sin, I repent, try to deal with it best I can, and if I'm mad at somebody, I pray for them, forgive them. Release them. So release that stuff from my heart. And I always come back to being in Christ. I'm still the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But this is all because of our identification with Christ. Let's read Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Wow. We were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we certainly also will be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Okay, so we were baptized into Christ. We were in Christ when he died on the cross for us. It's the same as we go out and have a smorgasbord, and I pay for everybody. And a policeman tries to arrest you for not having paid your meal. You go to court, and it's established that I paid for all your meals. So nobody is guilty because I paid for them. You were in me because in my heart, I wanted to pay for you. And so you are considered by the judges having paid. Mm-hmm. It's that same principle again. So we were in Christ when he died on the cross. We were crucified with him. Our old self is the person that we used to be, controlled by the sinful nature. Because we are now a new creation. We are born again. So it's this new creation that we have to take on, this new identity that we have in Christ. In Christ, I am the righteousness of God. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are accepted in the beloved in Christ Jesus. Everything comes back to Jesus Christ. Everything has to come back to Jesus because he paid for it all. Let me take this a step farther. When I pray for the sick, I have a boldness. I take authority as if I actually have the authority. I don't. It's a delegated authority. But the person is healed because of Jesus Christ. So it's got nothing to do with me other than my faith in what Jesus accomplished on the cross. And because of that, I can pray with all boldness, even though in my heart, I don't feel like God could use me. You see what I'm saying? Because you are in Christ Jesus. But if you're going to let your emotions control your prayer, and you're praying for somebody, oh, I don't think God could ever use me. I don't think anything is really going to happen here. See, your faith is in you instead of in Christ Jesus. So we can have boldness in Christ Jesus. It's not something we have to work up or have to have some kind of feeling of boldness. This is truth. And our boldness is by faith because we know what Jesus accomplished on the cross, that he carried away our sickness and diseases. So my faith is in Jesus and my boldness is in him also. Now, he still controls the power. It's up to him whether he heals the person or not. But I pray with full faith and full boldness because it's all in Christ Jesus. I get myself out of the picture. I'm just the messenger boy. I'm just proclaiming what he has accomplished on the cross. So every one of you can have great faith and great boldness, but it's in Christ Jesus. The more you do that, over the years, when I first time I prayed for a young boy that had leukemia, he was 5 years old, Kathy and I prayed for him, my heart just screamed at me, "What makes you think God would ever use you?" I guess it was the devil screaming at me, but also my own negative self-image. I said, "Shut up, devil. Shut up, heart. Jesus is the healer, not me. I'm righteous in Christ, and he's healed by faith in Jesus and in the name of Jesus." I had to keep telling myself that, but that feeling of inadequacy stayed there. But it's not there anymore. I've prayed so many times and seen so many miracles. And even when I had no faith and I was extremely tired and didn't think anybody would get healed, God was doing miracles like crazy just because I was laying hands on people. And he does these things to show us, to teach us that it's not dependent upon us, it's dependent upon him. Kathy's done the same thing. I've talked to other pastors. They've said the same thing. I don't ask them. They just come out with these things. But I've seen an evangelist not pray because he was late to the meeting, he was late getting the taxi, he was rushed to the meeting, and he didn't have the confidence to pray. Yeah. I said, "Well, pray anyways, you're not the healer." Yeah. 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 So all of us can have boldness and strong faith. Why? Because we are in Christ Jesus. Your boldness is in him. It's not in your ability. You got no power to heal anybody. It's important that we get this. Because this concept is the foundation of keeping this working in our lives. Jesus said, "Blessed are you when you are persecuted for my name's sake." So you witness to somebody about Jesus and they tell you, "Get lost, you religious freak. Oh, they hurt my feelings." But Jesus says you're blessed. Why? Because you are in Christ Jesus and you're doing what he wants you to do, sharing his word. You see the difference here between faith and feelings. You have feelings. I deny the right for my feelings to control my faith and how I live. But feelings are real. They can hurt. You can get ticked off. You can get mad at people. But you got to keep living in the Spirit to overcome that. I'm just reminded of what the Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, I think it is, verses 4 to 9. Anyways, Peter was preaching. Peter was with the Galatians, and he was preaching about everybody being one in Christ. And then the Judaizers came along. Peter had a problem with rejection, and so and a fear of man because of his rejection. And he didn't want the Jewish people rejecting him. So when they came, Judaizers were trying to tell people, oh, well, you still have to keep the law. Peter went and ate with them instead of with the Galatians. And the Apostle Paul ripped him a new one in front of everybody. He says, and Paul said, a little bit of leaven leavens the whole lump. Or in other words, a little bit of wrong teaching, a little bit of wrong thinking, perverts the whole concept of faith. You're saying we're all one in Christ Jesus, and yet you run over here because you're intimidated by the Judaizers. See, you're living by your emotions. And it perverts the whole concept of faith. Just a little bit of wrong thinking, a little bit. So we have to have our thinking really clear about this thing about being in Christ Jesus. If it's not, then you need to get it clear one way or the other. And only through meditation and putting it into practice in your life. And every time you make a mistake or you have a negative emotion that you're reacting to, well, wait a minute, I'm in Christ Jesus. But then we have to live in Christ Jesus also, or otherwise we become self-deceived where we think we're spiritual and we're not. So many people are so messed up with this in the body of Christ, charismatics, everybody. And they want the power of God, they want the presence of God, but they don't want to grow up, or they don't want to walk in love, or they react out of their emotions. And churches split up and everything else because nobody's living in Christ. Let's read on here. Now, if we died with Christ, see, and this is the important thing in water baptism. This stuff isn't explained. People don't really know what water baptism is about. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, you're saved. You got to be water baptized. Well, why? You know, if it's not explained properly. Because in water baptism, you are committing your life to Christ and you are agreeing with what happened on the cross, that you are identified with Christ, that when you go under the water, you're baptized into Christ, you died with him, and now you're going to live this new life that he has given you by faith. That is a commitment, the pledge of a pure conscience before God, that you are committed to live this life. See, it's like a new birth of the soul or an attitude, the pledge of a good conscience. It has to do with our heart. It has to do with our soul. This is true in the spiritual realm. Yes, you've been born again. Yes, you have the Spirit of God in you. Now, because of that, you should have a commitment to live this new life. That's what water baptism is. I've explained this to people. They got water baptized. Didn't make any difference in their life whatsoever. Even when I explained it to them, they just didn't get it. Because I know who I am in Christ Jesus and what I have in Christ Jesus and what he's done for me, and I know the life he's pulled me out of, I can't help but want to live this life. Because there's nothing else in the end. And all the promises in Christ Jesus, the future that we know what's coming, eternity, where we're going. I just get so sad. I was talking to Kathy's uncle the other day, who's not doing well and going to die within a week or so, and trying to reassure him of his salvation. But he's Catholic, and he's never been taught any of this stuff. And he says, I said, you're going to be fine. You get to heaven, you won't even want to come back. Yeah. Well, I hope so. I hope I get there. I hope I'm going to make it. They're still hoping. They have no concept of who they are in Christ because the Catholic Church hasn't taught it. They're good people. I believe they're saved because they lived a good life the best they knew how with the little information they had. And many of them live better lives than Spirit-filled Christians. And the Spirit-filled Christians think they're all going to hell. See how messed up everybody is? God is much bigger than all of that because he looks at the heart. And people that don't know the word live better than people that do. Then they're going to sit in judgment on them. So, but knowing everything that we are in Christ Jesus, I want to live that life to make it a reality in my life so that I'm not, that's why I'm not doing the things I used to do anymore. I mean, once you experience God and you live that way, and you keep experiencing more, you can't go back. There's nothing to go back to. But it's a process that you have to keep working on every day, and you make that commitment when you were water baptized. I'm not trying to beat you guys up or anything. I'm just saying this is the way it is. And I know you guys want to live for Jesus. I'm just trying to encourage you here this morning. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him, for we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once and for all, but the life he lives to God. And so we were crucified with Christ because Jesus paid for all of this, and because he's given us a new life, and we have that new life now in us, we are partakers of the divine nature. This cannot control us any longer, but we have to consider ourselves dead to it. Jesus said, lose your life and you will gain life. We have to think this way. If you have a problem in your life, consider yourself dead to that. This is how I overcame drinking and smoking at the same time. Tried to quit drinking, but every time I had a beer, I wanted a cigarette. Tried to quit smoking, every time I had a cigarette, I wanted a beer. Yeah. Did I say that right? I probably got that backwards, but you know what I mean. So I took the alcohol and I poured it down the sink and said, alcohol, I am dead to you. I have no more desire for you, and you cannot tempt me any longer because I am dead to you. You stupid little cigarette, you're not going to control my life any longer. I have no more desire for nicotine, and nicotine, you cannot tempt me any longer. I've been crucified unto the world, and the world's been crucified unto me. I'm dead. And Jesus gave me the victory. Why? Because I implemented a spiritual principle that happened at the new birth and through water baptism, what Jesus accomplished on the cross. So this is a reality. But if we don't think this way, then we're not going to get the victory. In Christ Jesus, I am dead to sin. He will be my master because Jesus has given me a new life. And I refuse to live the old one when Jesus has given me a better one. I'm not stupid. This is common sense. But you got to really apply yourself to do it. The Apostle Paul, you know why he had the ministry he had? Because he was a Pharisee of Pharisees, faultless at keeping the law. He was tenacious at doing the right thing. And God said, I need him. I can use him. I'm sure some Christians prayed for him. But when he found out how all this worked, he was tenacious at teaching this and living this. Just as tenacious as he was at keeping the law. Faultless at keeping the law. See, I told you before that as a child, I was trying to be perfect for God. But I gave up because I couldn't be perfect, and I wasn't taught anything. But once I found out the truth, now I'm tenacious at fulfilling the law through the power of this new life. God knows our hearts. And so Paul was tenacious at living this new life. And Peter, in his weakness, went and ate with the Judaizers. Paul was so tenacious about the word of God and this new life that he called him out on it in front of everybody. But Paul was speaking the truth. So we have to get tenacious as Paul. But the revelation that God gave to Paul, where all of this is explained, I got a very I put everything in order. My mind is very orderly. Line upon line, precept upon precept. I got to have the foundation, and then this all makes sense. I realize not everybody is that way. This is why sometimes I think, why don't they get it? Why don't they? I'm not talking about you guys, but I'm just talking in general terms here. If this is true, then this has to be true. See, this is the way Paul's mind worked. It was just very, what did you call it, Bill? Organized or very
methodical.
Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for, I guess. But not everybody is that way. But this is why you have to keep meditating on it so that you understand it, so that you can think it that way. If we don't think that way, we're not going to live that way. So here, Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says the death that Jesus died, he died once and for all. He's got the victory. He doesn't have to pay for sin again. He got the victory once and for all. Look at the very next verse. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, once and for all. Alcohol, I'm dead to you once and for all. I'm not an alcoholic anymore. I can have a glass of wine and it doesn't bother me. I don't have to go to all the meetings. I don't have to follow the 12 steps. Jesus has set me free. I drink all I want to, which is next to nothing. Because I don't want to anymore. But I'm not legalistic about it. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Alive to God. Well, how can you count yourself alive to God if you don't know who you are in Christ or what you have in Christ? It's just a mental thing. It's not in your heart. So in your heart, we've given you these scriptures and who you are in Christ before. If you have been born again, you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and the enduring word of God. Forgiven for all of my sins and are washed in the blood of Jesus. I am a new creation. I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are delivered from the power of darkness and translated into God's kingdom. Redeemed from the curse of the law. It is for freedom that Christ has set me free. Free from guilt, free from condemnation, free from law, free from legalism. I'm free to live for Him. Blessed, a saint, set apart. That was really a big one for me. You know how the Catholic Church has all their saints? Hey, I'm a saint. Church doesn't judge me whether I'm a saint or not. God says I'm a saint. The head and not the tail. Above only and not beneath. Holy and without blame before Him in love. The elect, established to the end, brought near by the blood of Christ. The blood of Jesus. This is my blood of the new covenant. Woo-hoo-hoo. Wow. We're in a covenant with the creator of the universe, the most powerful concept known to man, a blood covenant. But it's a life and death covenant, and you got to lose your life if you want to gain His life. But it's God that works in you both the will to do of His good pleasure. I told Kathy, I don't want to go to church. Much of religious hypocrites. told God I didn't want to go to church. He said, go ahead, there's room for one more. But as the word of God got in my heart, I didn't want to do those things anymore. I didn't want to party anymore. I didn't want to go dancing anymore. I didn't want to go drinking and getting drunk anymore. It took a while. But after a while, see, God works in you to do these things if you will spend time in his word and you really want to seek him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Are you understanding why it's impossible to please God? Because you can't live for him without faith. Faith, goal of our faith, is to become like Jesus. If we diligently seek him, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I don't know, most Christians just, I know that. No, you don't. You're not seeking him and you're talking like you're not saved. Acting like you're not saved. I've come across people that have been professional counselors and people who have been in ministry for years, and they're still immature and just want to be right about everything, and their negative emotions come to the surface. Give me a hard time for doing things I never said I would do. They just expected me to do it. Didn't know it was on their agenda. Unbelievable what comes out of people. Victorious. I live my life from a victorious position of who I am in Christ. And the key to victory is to know you already have the victory. You just have to implement it because you love Jesus. This stuff is not being taught in churches. Not very many anyways. And if it's taught, sometimes it's just the Pentecostal pastor friend of mine that got a revelation of the new creation. I said, weren't you taught that in Bible school? Yeah, but we didn't really believe it. That was a Pentecostal pastor. But when he got a revelation of it, man, he came and taught it in our church and everybody sort of looked at him like, yeah, we know this stuff. You got something new for us? He says, maybe this isn't a revelation to you, but it is to me. We are set free. Set free, 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 free. Free from guilt, free from condemnation. Free to live for Jesus. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Do not be entangled again by a yoke of slavery. Are you enslaved to anything of the flesh? I mean, we all have some things that we're not like Jesus yet, but are you enslaved to something? Are you addicted to something? Consider yourself dead to it and start meditating on the scriptures you need. Meditate on who you are in Christ. Ask him for his help. The Holy Spirit wants to help you. He sanctifies us. He makes us holy. He wants to change us. But some people just don't want to change. Well, their hearts don't want to change, so they don't want to change because they got to work at this. It takes a life of self-discipline and commitment. Now, there's no set standard that you have to attain unto. You just have to keep loving Jesus and doing your best to change. There's areas that you need change. And then you can enjoy the presence of the Lord, enjoy life, and enjoy your family. Strong in the Lord. I'm strong in Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. I really can't explain to you guys the things that God has called me to do that I never thought I could do. I always go back to the story when Kathy was praying and God told her she was going to be married to a minister. She said, no, Lord, when Hank dies, I'm not getting married again. You don't know this guy like I know him. In the natural, there was no possible way. But by the grace of God. Dead to sin. Dead to sin. You ever go to a funeral and you see a guy lying in the coffin? He's dead. he's dead. You can stick a needle in him a foot long and he will not say anything to you. You can tell him his mother wears army boots and he will not get mad at you. He's dead. Dead to sin. You got to practice being dead to sin. Well, I have a temper. Well, get rid of it. You're dead to it. Well, how do I get rid of it? Start loving your enemies, praying for them. Every time you get mad at somebody, forgive them and pray for them. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Well, I've been doing it for 3 months and I still get angry. I've been doing it for 35 years and I still get angry. Quit complaining. Keep doing it. Yeah. That Nike commercial, just do it. Don't whine. Do it. This is life in the spirit realm. This is not an option for us. This is our calling. Oh, Jesus loves me. Yeah, I know. Do you love him? More than a conqueror. Why are we more than a conqueror? Because Jesus already got the victory for us. We already got the victory. We just have to implement it. Joint heir with Christ. Because of who I am? No. Because I'm identified with Jesus in his death, burial, and resurrection. I'm seated with him in heavenly places. But if I don't live this life, when he comes back, I'm not going to rule and reign with him. Joint heir with Jesus Christ. Wow. Everything that Jesus has inherited because of the Father and because he paid for all of our sin, he's been given the name above every name. I have the right to use that name. Joint heir. All spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms have been given to you in Christ Jesus. Why? Because you are a joint heir with Jesus. Everything belongs to you. Everything is there for you. If you overcome, I will give to you to sit on my throne with me as my Father gave to sit on his throne with him. Gave me to sit on his throne with him. Joint heir, seated with him, reigning with him. Ruling with him. He's not ashamed to call me his brother. Wow. That's a pretty privileged position. And I didn't do anything except believe what he did for me. Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I'm in Christ Jesus by the Father's doing, by his doing. I'm accepted in the Beloved. I'm complete in him. See, this deals with all our negative self-image, all our rejection, rebellion, and pride. Yeah, I had all of those problems, but I'm complete in him. I just got to grow up. Perfect heart is one that wants to keep changing, wants to keep doing what's right. It's not sinless perfection because we can't reach that until we get rid of this sinful nature. Jesus has already given us the victory. That's why we're going to have a resurrected body, because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. And the sin principle lives in that flesh. Crucified with Christ. I had a man come and visit me the other day, and he said that Christian, he's not sure whether a Christian can be possessed, oppressed, depressed. Not sure if a Christian can have a demon. And he says, because what fellowship has light with darkness? I said, oh, it sounds like you've been trained by Pentecostals. Because that's what they say, to say that Christians can't have a demon. I said, we have a born-again spirit, the very nature of God in us. We have the nature of evil or the devil in our flesh. They're both in the same body. They're not heaven fellowship. The one is contrary to the other. So where does your theology start with here? You're saying that a demon and the Holy Spirit can't exist in my body at the same time? I've had demons in me. I felt them leaving, and I was filled with the Holy Spirit. They're not having fellowship. There is a battle, a war for your soul. There's no fellowship at all. It doesn't prove that your body can't have both at the same time. So I guess he says, well, I'm not sure if they're just on the outside oppressing you or they're actually in you. Well, the Bible says to cast them out, not cast them off. But you see, once they believe something, you can't change that because their heart believes it. I said, it's not a big point as long as you tell them to get lost and they get lost. I'm fine with that. But this is where we get all these silly ideas in the body of Christ because they don't understand how everything works in the spiritual realm. I'm alive with Christ. Woo! Say that about 5,000 times. See, if that doesn't crank your crank. You're alive with Christ. You are partaker of the divine nature. You've been given everything that pertains to life and godliness. I had a professional counselor try and tell me that you can sin in your spirit. I said, what? How do you come up with that? And I said, your spirit is born again. Man, I have a sinful nature in my flesh already. My heart's deceitfully wicked above all things. Now you're trying to tell me my spirit can sin too? I don't stand a chance here. I'm going to give up. Something's got to be holy and sacred here. Like, how can you read all the scriptures and say you can sin in your spirit? Then what good is my born-again spirit if I can sin in my spirit? But see, they say these things, and it just brings confusion to the body of Christ. And he's been counseling for years and years. We're reconciled to God, free from condemnation, reconciled. We're back in a perfect relationship with our Heavenly Father where there's absolutely nothing between us. I know we don't feel that way in our heart, but I meditated one time and got to that point. Wow. Woo. I couldn't stay there because you can't function. You're so crazy happy. So full of peace. I mean, you can't help but share Jesus and tell everybody about it, and they all think you're nuts. Remember, Jesus was frustrated with the apostles. They never understood a thing he was saying. He's going to die and do all this suffering, and nobody can understand why. Talk about being lonely. Qualified to share in his inheritance. I've been qualified to share in his inheritance. How was I qualified? Because Jesus paid for my sins. There's nothing between me and God. Now I am qualified to share and receive everything from my Heavenly Father that I need. I always see the Father as so willing to share his life. Jesus died so that we could have it. He's not holding anything back. If he gave us his son, why will he not freely give us everything else? Same with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you, being evil, know how to give good things to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And then people think they got to be holy to receive the Holy Spirit. Then I tell them I was drunk when I got saved, drunk when I got baptized the Holy Spirit, then I was so happy I went out and got drunk again. I didn't have to tarry in Jerusalem either. Then the Holy Spirit cleaned me up. Firmly rooted, built up, established in my faith, and overflowing with gratitude. I can't help but have gratitude because I'm firmly rooted, built up, established in my faith. I know what Jesus has done for me. I know how he's changed my life. Wow, what he pulled me out of. And then asked me to preach his gospel all over the world. So I'm always overflowing with gratitude. So is Kathy. We're always thanking the Lord. Praise the Lord. Circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. Because our hearts have been circumcised. The flesh has been cut out of our heart. The life of the flesh. We don't want to live that life anymore. Because we've got a better life to live. Why do we work so hard to make a living and don't do nothing about living? I found that it's very difficult if a person's been raised a certain way and maybe they're not self-disciplined and they don't feel like working and try to get everything they can from the government for nothing. They carry that same hard attitude over into Christianity in spite of what Jesus has done for them. And maybe they'll grow slowly, a little bit at a time, but they never really get serious because they have no self-discipline. We discipline our kids when they were children. Everybody had to work. Everybody had to do some chores. Man, I had to start work when I was 5 years old, picking strawberries, driving the tractor when I was 6 or 7. Had to stand on the clutch with both feet or it wouldn't go down. And if I missed the clutch, you'd step on the exhaust pipe, which was really hot. But I always enjoyed work. I come from a family of farmers. We were farming back to the 1600s. Circumcised, a fellow citizen with the saints and of the household of God. Wow. Built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophet Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. I'm in the world as he is in heaven. Born of God, and the evil one does not touch me. I'm his faithful follower. I'm overtaken with blessings. That doesn't happen just because you quote it. It's because you live the life that goes with it, and the blessings overtake you, as it says in Deuteronomy 28. His disciple, because I have love for others. How do you know that you love Jesus when you love others? How do you know that you're a Christian? They shall know you by your love. And that's just not when people are nice to you or you're in a good mood. The light of the world. Can you imagine? We have the understanding of what God has done through Jesus Christ. And now we can live this life and be God's light to the world. We've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. We are a light to the world. The creator of the universe has made us a light to the world, even though we were in sin and darkness when he called us. Wow. The salt of the earth. The salt has lost its favor. It's good for nothing but thrown on a manure pile. The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, a partaker of his divine nature, called of God. God chose you. You didn't choose him. But since he's chosen you, have you chosen to live for him? The first fruits among his creation. We are an ambassador for Christ. Wow. You know how in the natural realm we have ambassadors to other nations? Ambassador to the nation of Canada from Russia. Ambassador to the nation of the United States. You're representing a whole nation. You're an ambassador for that nation to someone else. That's a pretty important job. But we're an ambassador for the kingdom of God, the nation of God, kingdom of God. King of kings and the Lord of lords. We are ambassadors for him to the world. Wow. God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. The apple of my Father's eye. There's a lot more, but I just got that for a list. If what I'm teaching you today, I don't know what's going on in your heart. I'm not supposed to know. But if you feel you need more of this, then get these scriptures and meditate on them. Read them over every day. Start to build yourself up. Pray in tongues. Spend time in the Word. Get excited about Jesus. In the same way, count yourself dead to sin but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not let it. Why? Because you have the power over it. If you consider yourself dead to it and will walk in the Spirit, you have the victory. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. The devil can do no more in your life or my life than what we let him. So that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. These hands that used to hit people, now they bless people. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. We have to understand this, and we got to make a decision that we made when we were water baptized that we are going to live this life. Paul says in the same way, if we don't think that way, the Holy Spirit is teaching Paul. And so the Holy Spirit is saying, if we don't think that way, then we're not going to be able to implement in our life the victory that Jesus has already gotten for us. But this is already a done deal in the spirit realm. If I walk in the Spirit, I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Yeah, but I want to do the flesh. No, consider yourself dead to it. You've been circumcised to the world. The world's been circumcised to you. The life I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God who died for me. My old man was crucified with Christ. I died with him. It's a reality in the spirit realm. I got to make it a reality in my life and in my thinking. And the life I live by faith, not by these emotions. By faith in the Son of God who died for me. If I lived by my feelings, I'd still be mad at everyone. I love people by faith in Jesus Christ. Because I believe all of this is true, and if I will live by faith and love people by faith, even though my emotions don't want to, without faith it's impossible to please God. Then God will bless me. And he does, because that's how I implement the victory in my life. Because I understand how all this works, but now I have to put it into practice. Where I came from and where God has brought me, I'm a living miracle. And I live this message to prove that it works. And when I teach the heart seminar, there is such an anointing on it, people's lives start to change overnight. And they come all the way from here, from Ethiopia, to get me to speak over there. You see how this works? It just keeps escalating and escalating. Kathy and I are going to accomplish more in the next 10 years than we have in the last 35. Because it keeps escalating and escalating. And so are you guys. I'm just really trying to build you up this morning, not tear you down. You realize that, eh? But it has to be spoke with conviction, or otherwise, oh yeah, okay, yeah, that was a good message. Then you go home and nothing happens. No! We gotta live this! Amen. We're not here to play church. I'm sorry, honey, did I scare you again? If we were here playing church, this place would be packed. It'd be full. You guys are the privileged ones that remain faithful. Awake unto righteousness. This is what God is saying to the church today. Wake up! I died so you could have this. suffered so you could have this. Why won't you live it? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I think Jesus weeps many times still. He wept over Jerusalem. But when I think of the horror that he went through to give us this life, and we can be, when I say we, I mean the church in general, I'm speaking in general terms, can be so lackadaisical about it. Oh, I'm under grace. I'm saved. Once saved, always saved. I'm going to heaven. Everything's going to be fine. Wake up! It's not fine. Not unless we're living this and it's a reality in our lives. So we're baptized into Christ. You have identity in Christ. Your faith is in Christ, in his sacrifice, not in you. Your boldness is in Christ to pray. It's not that you have to work up boldness. You can just have boldness in Christ. See, when I prayed for that child, no matter what my heart screamed at me, I prayed by faith because of what Jesus accomplished on the cross. That's why it all works. And no matter what my heart screamed at me, as long as I didn't confess that, then by faith, that miracle happened. Kathy prayed by faith, I prayed by faith, and God confirmed his word with signs and wonders following. Now, we don't know everybody in every situation what God's doing in every life, but we just pray for whoever asks. But it's up to God because he controls the power. Jesus did not do miracles for the religious people. We have religious people that come to us and they want us to pray because they knew we had a healing ministry. We didn't. When they leave, nothing has happened. So we tell them, well, you go home and meditate on the word and do this, this. Well, no, I don't have time to do that. We tell them, you got to forgive people. No, I don't. I'm too mad. I'm not going to forgive them. Well, then keep your sins. Keep your sickness. Keep your disease. Stay ugly. It's your choice. So many people in unforgiveness, taking communion, sick and dying because they're not judging themselves. This is a dedicated life, but the rewards are worth it because we can't even imagine how great they are. That's why it's by faith. If we knew how wonderful heaven was going to be, we'd all live for Jesus. All out, everybody, every Christian. But this is why it's a life of faith. Hallelujah. But remember, always be found in him, having no righteousness of your own, because you have to be fully dependent upon him. As soon as we think we're good enough or we're okay or we've done this for God or done that for God, we start to depend on our own goodness, then we start to lose this privileged position in our thinking, in our heart, in our life. We need Jesus 24/7. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, I pray for a fresh stirring, a fresh revelation of these things in these days, Father. Lord, even as you're trying to wake up your church, Lord, and as we're working on building your church, Father, that your anointing to teach would come upon us, Father God, to share would come upon us, Father. And Lord, that your word would not return void, but that you would wake up your church back into kingdom thinking, kingdom living, personal relationship with you. Personal gratitude, fear of the Lord, all these things would return to your church, Lord Jesus, so that we can raise up an army by the power of your Holy Spirit to stand strong together in these last days to bring in this final harvest, Father. We pray for our cities, pray for our families, Father. Stir up their hearts, Father, as you're so willing to do, as we witness to them and share your love. To this end, Father, that your grace and your anointing would be upon us. And by your grace, we would fulfill every purpose that you have for us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Pastor Bill will give you some instructions on tables. And if we don't see you next week, have a Merry Christmas. Next week, Bill's going to do worship, sing some Christmas carols. Amen. And...